Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new, rebranded, rejudged podcast.
Oh my God.
Formerly known as Best Bad Movies, now known as My Week in Movies. My name is Sarah C, and I'm your host, along with my very common, very frequent special guest, TJ.
Very special.
The most special. So special that you put a ring on it.
So special that there's a need for it.
So this podcast was formerly known as Best Bad Movies, where we reviewed movies that were received slightly poorly by critics, but very well by us ourselves. And then we took a 6-month break. We literally recorded like 4 episodes and then I went on a break for 6 months.
A break? You were up to something else?
I was up to something else. And then we came back and rebranded. So I'll tell the story from the top and then I'll just move on from there.
There you go.
So I started this podcast because I was just looking for a hobby. I wanted something to do in my free time. You know, it was the middle of winter as well. I wanted to pass some time. So I started Best Bad Movies. But the problem was, I really feel like I wasn't aware of how much I was pigeonholing myself into that category of finding movies that like had to be this percent on Metacritic, but we enjoyed them. And also the problem is I watch the movies that I find ridiculous. So to have to rewatch them for the podcast again, it felt like I wasn't enjoying rewatching.
It was shite is what you're getting to.
Excuse me. It was well received. How dare you?
Best bad podcast, was it?
Oh, okay, right. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We're done today.
Thanks all 2 of you, yeah. You're one of them. You'll be listening to it back.
So what had happened was we had recorded actually a podcast for The Mummy with Tom Cruise, the 2017 version of The Mummy. And when I listened to it back, I actually hated it. I was spending so long just talking about the plot of the movie and it was like an hour and a half. It was boring. It was bloated. It took way too long for us to just get into the crack and fun. And I was like, this is stupid. So I decided to take a break from that for like a week. And I ended up taking a 6-month break because what really happened in the meantime was TJ very kindly had bought me a Switch last year and some games to go with it. And one of the games that he had gotten that I had put off playing for a long time because I was very intimidated by it was The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I decided one afternoon to just pick it up and start playing it. I found it very intimidating because I'd never had consoles as a kid, never had controllers, found the idea of them super intimidating. And then I picked it up and started playing it. And then I played it for 6 months straight.
Yeah, hundreds of hours. Not even exaggerating, like hundreds of hours.
Call me out.
Yeah, hundreds of hours.
Literally.
It's like you picked it up and then I just didn't see you for 6 months.
Oh, you did. Because every time you walked in, I would turn around like a child that was caught with chocolate that she wasn't supposed to have. Because
Will you do this level for me, please?
That was literally me at the start. I couldn't, like, there was too many buttons on the controller. And I was like, oh my God, how do you have the hand-eye coordination to do all this? And I'd be like, TJ, can you beat this bad guy for me? I don't know how to do it. And stuff that I could tell was, this will tell you how novice I was. I had never played any consoles as a kid, ever. We never had a console. We had some computer games. We never had like a Game Boy or anything like that.
Aww.
Oh, womp womp. So sad for me. And when I got it and I started playing it, like I say things that were so glaringly obvious in the game for you as to like, you should go and check that out. I'd be like, anyway, let's run past it. Like in the game, you know, it's an open world game. So you're just running around exploring. It's absolutely incredible. I would run past these rocks that would be literally sparkling. And it's so obvious that you're meant to go over and break the rocks, which end up turning into like ore, like you can get amber or diamonds or something. And I just run past it. I'd be like, cool sparkling rock anyway. And you'd be like, maybe you should go and look at that rock over there.
Yeah. And all the puzzles as well. A lot of puzzles.
Yeah. Oh, if you haven't played it, I definitely peaked far too early because all I played before this was Mario Kart and then I played Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and now no game is ever going to match it.
Well, we'll see now for the next one, which is next week.
Yes, another beautiful coincidence is that I only started playing it this year and it's actually only this week. I started playing it in January. And I've been playing it for basically 5 months straight. And only this week is the first week that I'm like, okay, I really don't have anything left to do in the game.
Besides grinding for things like.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I've completed like 65 to 70% of the map, which is really huge. And then next week, the new Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is out. And in case you didn't know, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild came out 7 years ago. So yeah. There are people who have had the joy that I've had 7 years ago and have had to wait seven straight years for this one to come out. And I'm only half, I don't even have to wait.
No, you don't.
I just have to wait 5-6 days and it's going to come out. And then that will consume my entire summer. Yeah. So we're happy that you're getting this podcast, because once next week hits now, you're not going to get a podcast for another 6 months.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. And then we spent the first 5 minutes talking about games instead of movies as well.
Well, I think it was important. Like while I was playing the game, I never had the urge to come back to the podcast because I think deep down, I just didn't like what we were doing.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just restricting us, and I wanted to do something more.
Well, I can unveil now the hate mail that we've actually received for the podcast is actually horrific. Like, it really put me down. I was kind of keeping it away from you, but the hate mail is like really bad.
Really?
Yeah, seriously bad. Like,
did anyone sign it? Do we know who it's from?
Yeah, no, they were happy to sign their names. They wanted us to know who it was.
Oh, what were they saying?
Yeah, yeah. Can't really get into it here, but like, you know, unalive this and unalive that, and
My god.
Yeah.
Well, whoever sent that in, you'll be happy to know that the podcast has been rebranded.
Yeah
So like all my excellent ideas that I've ever had, no joke, I actually, something happens. I was in the shower one day and I get really great ideas when I'm in the shower.
Yeah, like, clean yourself. I should clean myself while I'm here. Fucking genius.
I get these really good, like, inspirational ideas.
Dirt. When I'm dirty arse. My fucking dirty arse. I was cleaning my dirty arse. That's a great idea. You're cutting that out, are you?
Maybe not. We'll see.
Maybe not. No, who knows? No. This is the new and improved dirty clean.
Uncensored
dirty arse podcast.
Now, I can tell you right now, this absolutely can never be uncensored. If you ever hear music happening in the middle of the podcast, just like a little interlude, it's because I've had to cut out something horrible that TJ said.
Excuse me, you know, like, you're pretty bad yourself.
Right. Anyway,
you lose the run of yourself. You get into a flow or something, and then you'll say something, and then you look at me and be like, I can't say that. I have to delete that.
Yeah.
If you're listening now, there was just a cut there. She said something really awful.
Shut up. No, I didn't.
You it did. Wasn't, you oh, did.
Pure no cuts. No awful. Cut Cleary. That's what they call me.
No, they don't.
So as I was saying, one day I just had this epiphany idea in the shower where I was like, oh, do you know what I'll do? I'll rebrand the podcast and I'll make it a podcast called My Week in Movies. The premise of which is that whatever's going on in my life that week, I'll find a movie that I really enjoy that parallels or relates to what's happened in my life this week, and we'll just talk about it. We're not going to do big long plot points. We're just going to generally chit chat about it. And the other night I had handed the remote control to TJ and I was like, you're picking what we watch this evening. And I came back in and TJ had picked The Matrix Resurrection. And it was so fitting because this is the week that we are resurrecting the podcast,
or depending how this goes, burying it forever and salting the earth.
I am going to spoil a little bit now. I don't know if this movie should have been buried, but I don't think it really needed to be made. So while both things are being resurrected, maybe both of them will also just go away forever and everyone will forget about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to launch into it now. Again, there's going to be no structure to this. I just really enjoy chit-chatting and bantering with TJ. So I'm going to give a quick 1 minute spoiler of everything that happens in the movie. We're going to talk about everything. So if you have not seen this movie and you want to go see it, go watch it now because we are about to spoil it. So The Matrix Resurrections is basically the story of Neo, our amazing characters, Neo and Trinity. It's their story. Neo is back in the Matrix.
People keep asking, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm back.
I say we're going to hear a lot of whoa and yeah out of you.
Ah, stop it.
So Neo and Trinity, at the end of The Matrix Revolutions, both of them died. They flew to the machine world to save the day and both of them died.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And the premise of The Matrix Resurrections is that a character called the Analyst found their bodies and decided to put them back in the big gloopy pods and put them back into the Matrix, because he realized that if he put them in the Matrix and like never let them meet, but just let them like get near to each other in the Matrix, they would have massive energy outputs in their body. And because it's the machine world and humans are batteries,
they love that
energy
shit.
Is now running scarce. They're looking for more and more, you know, supplies
juice.
Of energy. And
yeah.
These two people are giving out swaths of it.
Yeah.
So Neo is awakened by this ragtag group led by a person called Bug. Bug finds Morpheus. They all go and they awaken Neo.
Not real Morpheus.
Not real Morpheus. We'll get to that. And then the rest of the story is Neo and the gang trying to get Trinity out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And they get her out in the end. And they
blow Neil Patrick Harris's jaw off.
They blow his jaw off, but he's yeah. still there.
Yeah.
He's still alive at the end of it for some. Oh my God. They talk about these machines like as if they're a corporation. It's so strange. Neo and Trinity get out at the end and they
fly away into the sunset.
Yeah. They get together and then they allude to the idea that they're about to take over the Matrix
and
design it in what way they want. So for me, this movie didn't disappoint me because I wasn't like watching it going like, oh, this is so shit. This is so stupid. There was a lot of nods and a lot of callbacks to the original movies. There was clips, there was characters, there was phrases, there was little bits. This movie to me just did not need to be made. I know that I will just forget that this movie ever existed. I couldn't understand what this movie was. It was so different to the others, I think, in tone and in look. And at the end of it, I was like, this is so weird. This is like a chapter out of one of the other movies.
Yeah.
This is like this could have been a 20-minute scene.
It feels a lot more personal though, because there's a lot more stuff going on in terms of like Neo's identity being hidden from him, even. You know,
yeah.
the way he's seen in the world is completely different.
Yeah.
And so he has to kind of like discover himself.
Yeah.
And
what TJ's referring to, by the way, is that in the movie, we see Neo as Keanu Reeves' character, but in the Matrix, everyone sees him as like this gray-haired old man. So they're not looking at him and seeing that. So he is presenting differently to everybody else.
Yeah. So he needs to discover himself. And, you know, even if the world doesn't really fit or accommodate him, that's what they do, isn't it, at the end with Trinity. They're like, we can make the world our own.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know at the end if they were making the world their own.
Well, they fucking flew off. They flew off into the sky. They did something.
Trinity flies at the end of it. It's all so bizarre. You're right in what you're saying, in that the movie is more personal. I was reading up on what happened. So obviously the other movies were directed by the Wachowski sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Only Lana came back.
Oh, okay.
For this movie to direct. Lily did not direct this movie, but she gave her blessing for it to be made.
Fair play.
So Warner Brothers have been obviously dying for a Matrix movie to be remade ever since the first ones came out. They are iconic. They're in the zeitgeist. They just spawned so many references, so many like spin-off movies, spin-off games, you know,
memorabilia,
comics, all that kind of stuff.
I wonder, is that in reference to in the film where they're all in the boardroom saying like for the sequel, and they're like, oh, it needs more bullet time, or the sequel needs to be bullet time, more bullet time, and all this kind of shit. And I imagine that's probably where that's coming from.
This movie is so meta in terms of, in the movie, Keanu Reeves in the Matrix is a game designer, and he's made a game called The Matrix, which is basically the first movie and has bullet time. It has a character called Trinity and a character called Morpheus, and his name is Neo. And in this movie, when he's back in the Matrix, he's in this boardroom. They're, you know, very clearly being like, we need a sequel. We wanted to have more bullet time. We wanted to have, you know, this, that, you know, it's so meta. It's actually insane. but when I was reading up on it, what happened was, I don't know if it was during, I think it was before the pandemic, Lana Wachowski, who had never shown any interest in making sequels for years, lost her mother, her father, and her best friend.
Jesus.
All in the space of the year. Absolute, like, just world-changing stuff.
Yeah.
And she had a dream one night, which I think was like the plot of The Matrix Resurrections. And she said, you know what? My family is gone. My parents are gone. My best friend is gone. But I can bring someone back. I can bring Neo and Trinity back.
Yeah.
So she wrote the script and pitched it. And of course, they're after taking it and making it into this movie. So, and then once they started making it, the pandemic hit. And she was like, you know what? We're just going to leave it off. We're not doing this. It's too difficult. We're going to leave this as this like legendary buried movie that no one will ever see. But everyone was like, no, no, no. Come back and make it. Come back and make it. And she did.
Yeah. And I'm delighted. Like, because I love The Matrix.
Mm.
I think like kind of blew my mind when I was younger. And I loved the way in this, like there wasn't a whole lot kind of new about it, you know, but there was a little bit in terms of like how it's Io now instead of Zion. Zion is gone. But then like some of the machines are over on their side and they're paddling around like weird fucking little transformers. Do you know that kind of goofy kind of pally kind of thing? A bit of that, but I don't mind that. But in The Matrix then, wasn't it before where they're the kind of exploit that they had to get move in and out of The Matrix was like phone lines.
A phone booth, yeah. Or a phone line,
sorry. So now in this renewed version of The Matrix then, it's like mirrors and shit that people pass through, isn't it?
I can't even
They go through
remember.
Like portals of like, and they use mirrors to pass through things.
I think it's like doors as well, is it?
I don't know. Doors were always there for like back doors to be moving between like the behind the scenes kind of shit. Like, but they use like mirrors and stuff to kind of, it's almost like portals as well to move around.
Yeah. I actually, again, I didn't dislike this film. Like, it was a bit silly and the references were funny. Keanu Reeves at the start, I was really worried because that man was as stiff as a board, but he loosened up a lot
as the film went on.
And there was some jokes in there and it was kind of funny. But I was thinking about it afterwards about like, it's not that the movie is bad. I think it's just going to be very forgettable for me anyway. And I think it's just because for me, it actually didn't really bring anything new. Because I think the other movies were so iconic and revolutionary, especially the first Matrix. Like, my God, no one had ever seen anything like that before. And then the second one came along and I can remember all the scenes from it. I can remember him stopping all the bullets with his hand. I can remember the twins, those twin guys with the white dreadlocks and that giant highway chase. The music was incredible. Yes, some of the CGI was bad. But like the fights were great.
Yeah.
And even from the third one as well, I can remember some of the stuff, like the Merovingian. Yes, it wasn't as good as definitely not the first one and not the second one. But this one for me, I was just like, oh, we've seen all this before.
It's been so long since the other ones as well. Yeah. So like the time it sort of passed in a sense.
Yeah.
But this was more like if someone was holding out hope for something else, you know, just a little bit of something.
Yeah.
Like, I think that might scratch the itch.
Yeah. I think for people like me who don't like endings where the two characters, the two lovers have to die, who just want to see them like happy and together.
Yeah.
This is a nice movie for that because I know sometimes movies will be like, oh, we'll just leave this ambiguous ending and you come up with the ending. And I'm like, no, don't fucking do that. Tell me what the ending is. I don't want to do it in my own mind. I want you to tell me because when you tell me, it's definitive.
Yeah.
And when that kind of stuff happens, I'm like, yes. Tell me that Neo and Trinity are together. Grand. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you can sleep. Like,
yeah, I can sleep. But for this one, yeah, it just, it's so nostalgic with all the references in it.
Mm-hmm. Except Morpheus.
Ooh, I'm going to come on to that now. Yeah. It wasn't, not that it wasn't nostalgic enough. I think there wasn't anything else surrounding that. Like Spider-Man No Way Home is super nostalgic. It is a beautiful ode to all the movies that came before it.
All the Spider-Men,
yes. But there was also a lot of emotion and a lot of plot around it.
Actually,
that, like, so weaved everything together.
Tangent. Do you think, how many different Spider-Men were there and did they add up to like 8 arms? I'm wondering.
In the movie?
Yeah. Like, how many different Spider-Men were there?
3.
Altogether?
Oh, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland.
Oh, was that all?
Yeah.
Okay. Arms and legs. Thinking... Arms and legs. So that's what, that's six. So it's not a real spider.
Six or eight?
I think eight.
I can never think. Are you thinking of Into the Spider-Verse?
I don't know. No, like the... I just want something where it added up to like eight arms and legs, you know.
Okay.
So it's a real spider man. Yeah. Spider- How many spider men in a spider man? Like,
there just wasn't enough outside the nostalgia part for me.
Spider-Man? Oh, in that.
No,
yeah.
In The Matrix. There wasn't enough outside of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is cute and nostalgic, but also like, I don't really care. Yeah, he got her out. Now what? They left this again. They kind of left an open ending, but Lana Wachowski is like, I'm never coming back to this again. And we're like, all right, fuck off then. What? It was, I just found it really strange. Also, they recast some parts. Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith.
Mr. Anderson.
TJ loves doing that. was recast with Jonathan Groff in the cast. To me, not menacing enough. Now, I know Hugo Weaving actually had, he was in a play at the time. So it was due to scheduling conflicts that he couldn't play the part, which is absolutely fine. But
did no fucking bother computerizing him in Matrix Reloaded, though?
Well, I mean, you can't do that for a whole movie.
I do like. The voice. I do the voice for it. Like,
oh, God. Yeah. Here we go.
What the fuck, Mr. Anderson? You're a game designer, Mr. Anderson. Make the game.
I'm just going to leave that one sit there. So, yeah, he just, like, just wasn't menacing enough for me. You know, it was just a very bland, you know, portrayal of him. There wasn't enough. It's fucking Agent Smith. Like, my God. Also, giant elephant in the room. They recast Morpheus. So Morpheus is now played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
What happened to the first?
As his father.
Oh, okay.
You're TJ Fogarty. You're Thomas Fogarty III.
Yeah, give it all my information there.
I'll
get doxed. Thanks very much.
What happened to the second?
The second what? Second Thomas coming? Fogarty. The second coming hasn't happened yet. And it's not going to happen either. Spoiler alert.
So yeah, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is playing Morpheus in this one. Now, fabulous outfits, so camp. I wanted more of it, but it wasn't, you know, obviously it's not going to be the exact same person and it was fine. But when I looked it up, it turns out Lawrence Fishburne was just never asked to come back. This is not a scheduling conflict. This was just that he was never asked.
It was a decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nice. Our special guest today is actually Lawrence Fishburne. So come on in, pal. Tell us everything. Oh.
What? Leave me alone. Another very strange casting choice was at the board meeting, Christina Ricci, the original Wednesday Addams herself. I don't know if you noticed this, like, she headlined that board meeting.
No.
She's a very famous actress. As she was
How
just...
How come I don't know her?
You do know her to see her.
Clearly I didn't.
Now don't get me started on this. TJ
Jamie, bring it up. Bring up...
TJ doesn't know any actress.
I do.
Or when he sees their face, he also won't know their name. So the name Christina Ricci means absolutely sweet fuck all to him. But... he will know her when he sees her.
All right, sure.
Guarantee you.
All right.
Anyway.
Spoiler alert, he didn't. This is TJ from the future. We're just splicing it in.
I'll bring her up on my phone now.
Bring it up, Jamie.
I'll bring her up and we'll show you. Now, Christina Ricci.
All right.
That's her there.
Jessie J.
No, it's not Jessie J. She just has dark hair. That's racist.
It's not racist. No, I don't know her.
She's the original Wednesday Addams. She's in a load of stuff. You do know her.
All right.
Yeah. He does, but he just doesn't want to admit it.
Let's move on.
But it's just one of those things where, like, a super famous actress is in this, like, 2-minute role. It wasn't obvious enough that it was, like, a cameo of anything. It was like as if she had a bigger part in the movie and they just cut all the rest of her scenes. it was like when Matthew Fox, who played the main character Jack on Lost, when he was in World War Z as just some like lackey, and it was obvious that there was a whole side plot there that maybe, they're after cutting out, and they did.
Maybe he got lost. And just showed up the wrong movie.
You know what? I shouldn't have started off this podcast again.
It's only going to get it worse. Yeah. And this is a movie that you didn't like. Imagine a movie you do like and how I'm going to have to shit all over to bring you back down to earth.
But then again, the movies that I like, I don't know.
What about them?
I won't have you as a guest on for it. I won't have you ruin my beautiful, beautiful
you will.
Movies.
You will, because of all the hate mail we get, we'll never be able to get someone else on.
That's not true. That's not true. I know a few people who will definitely come and talk to me about specific movies.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, some very strange casting choices there. Not too sure what was going on. I don't know if it was just like the John Wick of it all, that Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves had like already come back together in John Wick. Or maybe they had done something that had upset the Wachowskis and that's why he wasn't asked back. But it was just, it's such a huge part of
not,
the original.
Not to start slandering people here or starting rumors like.
No, absolutely not.
No.
All I want is an answer, because I feel like Morpheus was such a huge integral part of the original movies to not even mention why he wasn't asked back or wasn't recast. Does it say something to me? I don't know. Let's let the viewers decide. Comment down below.
I'm not saying X is true, but did you see when they said, I don't know now.
Yeah. Let's start some rumors.
Yeah.
Like in that episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch when she worked at the rumor mill. This movie did not succeed at the box office. It said that it was a 2021 movie, and I was like, there's absolutely no way. But it turns out it came out in December 2021, so basically into 2022. It cost $190 million to make. It only made $150 back.
Only? Thanks.
I think it went on to HBO Max very, very quickly. And the studio ended up getting sued by somebody because they said that like they shouldn't have put it on to HBO Max. It doesn't really matter.
There was an Unreal Engine tech demo. So they used the world of the Matrix for it to show off the technology. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Big wide open city. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Was this movie disappointing for you, or like is it
I think
you'll probably forget about?
No, I think because I'd already gotten the sense that people weren't happy with it long before I ever watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of prepared for it, so I just kind of went into it just taking it as it comes, and just I did. I found bits that I enjoyed, like so. Yeah. I loved the universe of it, you know.
So do I. And oh my god, they show a lot of clips from the original Matrix movies.
Yeah.
And I just want to say it now, my god, that cast was so fine back in the day. I need to go back and rewatch it all. I think the more I thought about it, the one thing that really got me with this was when I remembered that we saw the trailer for this movie for the first time in the cinema. And I welled up with tears I saw the trailer, because like the first Matrix movie was just incredible for me, and the second, like, I feel like it's one of my bisexual awakenings between this and the 1999 beautiful movie The Mummy with Rachel Weisz and Brendan Fraser. Like, my god, those two casts, just absolutely gorgeous. But when I saw the movies then, they were just so amazing. Everything about them was so fucking cool. And then when I saw the trailer come out, I just was like, oh my god, it's back. I can't believe it's actually here. And then I watched it and I was like, yeah, that was all right. And then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh.
It was grand.
It was fine. Yeah, it was absolutely fine. It's not, I don't think you're going to miss anything if you don't see this movie. There was nothing for me that like, in the first ones, I'm like, you know, you'd be like, oh, you have to watch this. They've got this incredible new technology. Or, oh, you have to watch this. The music is so good. Or the CGI is so good. Or the fight scenes are so good. For me, there's nothing in this that I'd be like, oh, you have to watch this because XYZ is so good. I'd be like, if you just fucking love Daddy Keanu Reeves and you just want to see him again with funny quips, yeah, go off and watch it. Don't get your Matrix
It's like
expectations too high.
It's like being a fan of a band. You know, and then they've moved on to other things. They've taken up other positions elsewhere. And then 30, 40 years down the line, they're like, we're getting the gang back together. And they do a reunion show. And they're all so old and knackered that it's like, you know, if you were fans of it before, you'll you'll be taken down memory lane a bit, you know. But if you'd never been watching The Matrix before and you watch this, you'd be like, oh, it's a bit goofy. Like,
yeah, it is a little bit. And I remember when you picked it out and we started watching it, that opening fight scene with that character Bug, who has the blue hair.
Yeah.
I literally wrote down, opening feels physically clunky.
Yeah.
Footsteps are heavy and slow. It was so strange because I feel like the original one was so light on his feet.
Yeah, like, it was very floaty. Fights, like.
Yeah, very like, you know, almost Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Snap your neck.
But I felt like, you know, it's almost like as if it hadn't been finished editing, like the editing hadn't been there to like really sharpen up everything and make everything kind of like, it was like as if it was still in that slightly mid-editing clunky stage.
And that's something that they say as well, like in those meetings, it's like, can we make it just a little bit more?
I would. Yeah. And I know everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
You get your head kicked in.
It wasn't
clean. Like...
It wasn't sharp. It wasn't, it was bunk.
Yeah, can we have a little less bunk, more? You get your head kicked in.
You all get me, don't you? Comment down below.
Jamie, bring up the bunk. Bring up the and the bunk.
Did you know that the Wachowskis wrote V for Vendetta?
No.
I never knew that.
On what?
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought it was in the film. They wrote it on something.
No, they wrote the movie V for Vendetta, the Wachowskis. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Wachowskis have had like mixed success since the Matrix movies, which is such a shame. I think they have these extraordinary ideas, but no one will pump enough money into the stuff that they've done.
Did they do like Jupiter Ascending?
They did Jupiter Ascending. Yeah. And Jupiter Ascending, I think, is based on one of their like 600 page either books or graphic novels or comics. I'm not 100% sure.
It's based on a book.
Is it based on a book?
I think so.
Is it their book or just
No, a book?
But I think they wanted to do this like huge, gigantic movie. And I just don't think that people are taking enough and putting enough money and enough like give behind the projects. The exact same thing happened. They did Sense8, which was out on Netflix. Sense8 has such an extraordinarily dedicated fan base, like absolutely desperate to get this show back on air.
How sad.
Listen, I've been part of one of those fan bases. You need to leave me alone. And that fan base...
Trust nobody, right? Oh, guard your feelings.
I tell you, I signed a petition for a sequel of a movie to be made. And I joined a Facebook group that was like, make a sequel to this movie. What movie do you think it was?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. The Mummy?
No, the Mummy had two sequels.
Yeah, but movie, you wanted another one.
It's a standalone
movie. Oh.
It's not part of a franchise. The movie was a reboot of the series.
Right.
I think only one other movie had been made.
I'm already in my head. I'm like, this is not even worth it. Like, whatever it is, it wasn't worth the sequel.
I signed a petition and joined a Facebook group to make a sequel to the movie Dread with Carl Urban.
Yeah, that was good.
That movie was absolutely brilliant.
I am the law.
He was so good in that. If you haven't seen Dread, Jesus Christ, sit down and watch Dread. It's absolutely brilliant. And he does not take the helmet off. I'll spoil it for you right now.
Yeah,
it's got crazy. A really sexy mouth.
And a big fucking skull cranium. That's why he doesn't take it off.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
What that mouth do. So I have been part of one of those fan bases. So leave us alone. We're just passionate about the stuff
I know.
We care about.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same with like Half-Life or Mass Effect. Mm. You know, and they fingered Mass Effect into a coma with Mass Effect Andromeda. You know?
Yeah.
But then they released...
No, I don't know because I don't play those.
Then they released the Legendary Edition so I could relive the happy moments again. So that was okay.
Are you reliving Dead Space at the minute as well?
I would be if I was playing it, but I haven't played it in a while.
Yeah, someone else has been occupying the TV with a game. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone, they're out of their mind anyway.
Yeah. So I didn't read any reviews about this movie because even for this podcast, I didn't want like this chat to be influenced by other people's opinions because I don't care. You shouldn't care about our opinion. We certainly don't care about your opinion.
at me. She said that we're looking at me. So
no, you shouldn't care about other people's opinions, because don't forget, at the end of the day, Empire Magazine, who are one of the biggest movie magazines out there, gave the movie Taken 1 star. So at the end of the day, people really don't know shit.
What did they give Taken 2?
Oh, let's see. Hang on.
Yeah, that'd be gas.
They gave Taken 2 2 stars.
Yeah, and there you go.
I want to see what they wrote about the original Taken. So Empire gave the original movie Taken, released in 2008, 1 star. And they said, a venomous little actioner that mistakes bile for adrenaline.
A dubious little creature.
Oh, Liam Neeson's ill-judged presence should not cause you to even consider going within 30 feet of a flea pit that's screening Taken. Ooh! They knew that they absolutely fucked up with that first one, so they probably gave the second one 2 stars just to make up for it, because, I mean, like, everyone just... Yes, Taken is so ridiculous, but it goes to show how seriously they were taking it.
And look what it did. Like, look what it did, like...
Look what it did. I don't care what anyone says. Taken was the first one that kicked off this franchise of...
Old fellas kicking ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
And definitely not breaking their hips along the way.
No, no, no.
Do not talk about him pissing his pants.
I wasn't going to say that at all. I was going to leave him with some fucking dignity and you just tore him down.
This out.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is it. We're going to have some nice short episodes now as opposed to the stupid hour-long episodes.
Oh, shout out to Enter the Matrix game that I used to play on the PC.
Oh.
Looking back at it now, but at the time it was class.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, and join us next week where we release the names on the list of Epstein's Island visitors. We'll be releasing those, maybe two every episode to keep people along, you know?
What movie will we have to have with that?
What was that one we watched recently? Plane.
Okay, we're saving Plane for a different... I thought you were going to say The Island with Hugh McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
What's that say about them? Like,
it's not, it's really, sometimes it's just that the title is going to tie in. Oh, another thing that happened in the...
Epstein's Island.
No! Another thing that... Okay, this is going to be a roundabout tangent, but stay with me. Something that happened that delayed the resurrection of this podcast is that TJ and I... are now engaged to be married. And in that same vein, and so next week I am going to be shopping for my wedding dress, and who's going to be coming along with me? Bridesmaids. So that means that there's going to be a lot of wedding themed movies coming up in the next little while.
It also means you'll never hear from this podcast again. Yeah, because we'll be too busy.
Yeah. God, between organizing hen nights and organizing the wedding and organizing all other bits and bobs.
Could you be bothered?
I've just got no time. And again, at the end of the
day. Oh, and Zelda.
And the new Zelda, my God. At the end of the day, this is just like a fun little podcast that I do when I feel like it. And it also, it's a real laugh for me and DJ to do together.
Yeah, despite the, it's a nightmare to set up, but I think we have a system now.
I can actually never get the fucking recording right. And I swear to God, if this does not record both of our voices properly, I just don't care. It's a sign that, much like this movie, it just needs to be forgotten about completely.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Anyway, go off, everyone. Be merry. Have a great weekend. If it's the weekend when you're listening to it. If not, drink during the week. Who cares?
Yeah, rest in peace, Epstein.
Anyway. Tune in next time for some other film based on some other absolutely random tangent aspect of
it. He was murdered.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Don't forget.